Hello! Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. This week, we are presenting the exciting conclusion of The Brilliant Firefly, Reborn, an original work by Daniel Hines. If you haven't already, listen to parts 1 through 3 to get caught up on where we are in our story. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Violet and Zoe and their family, Hank and Ben and their family, Madeline and Cameron and their family, and Ella and Owen and their family. Thank you for helping to support our show, Owen, Ella, Cameron, Madeline, Ben, Hank, Zoe, and Violet. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners.
Hey, grown-ups, power up your family's playtime with the Nintendo Switch system, the home of Mario and friends. Jump into the unexpected with Mario, Princess Peach, and more in Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Or challenge each other to a race in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Go to Nintendo.com and browse the full lineup of Nintendo Switch systems. Additional accessories may be required for multiplayer mode. Games, system, and some accessories sold separately.
Thanks! Enjoy the episode! The Brilliant Firefly, Reborn, Part 4. Chapter 9, Launch. The suit slid closed around her body. It was black as motor oil and hot as a running engine. Jill started to feel the beginnings of claustrophobia set in, but after a few seconds, the suit came to life around her. It swelled against her skin until she was cradled firmly and then cooled itself to a pleasant temperature. The black lenses flared to life, and Jill could see again. A heads-up display snapped into place in front of her eyes. To the left was a constant readout of the suit's stats. She could see the temperature inside and out, the power levels, the status of each individual component, and even the ammunition levels. In the center of her vision was a faint crosshair, one that seemed to follow the focus of her eyes. "Jill," Speck's voice said from behind her, "are you okay in there?"
"Well, I think so,"
Jill said and was surprised by her voice. The suit took her medium-high feminine alto and changed it into something craggy and masculine, changed it into the voice she recognized as Firefly's from the old videos. "Prepare for launch," came the voice again, and Jill felt herself being tipped forward. The curved wall in front of her slid open to reveal a long tunnel, barely big enough around for her to fit in. It looked more like an old torpedo tube than anything. "And in that case, I'm the torpedo," thought Jill as the suit's platform tilted her into the tube and then shut behind her, leaving her alone again. Jill knew it must have been pitch black, but through the lenses of the suit she could see clear as day. The tunnel went on and on in front of her with no end in sight. Jill still wasn't able to move anything more than her eyes. "Great. Now what?" "Launch in 3, 2, 1.
No!
Jill screamed as she suddenly began rocketing forward. The tunnel flew by all around her, on and on it went. Finally, up ahead, she could see its end, a sheer blank wall of solid concrete. She screamed again and tried to brace for impact, but at the last second, the wall slid away and Jill was launched into the star-speckled sky. On the heads-up display of the suit, what Jill thought of as an HUD, she could suddenly see an altimeter giving her height. At 100 feet, she could see the lights of the houses here and there below her. At 300 feet, she finally gained full control of the suit and immediately began to wave her arms and legs. At 500 feet, she peaked, seemed to hang motionless in the air for a moment, and then began to fall like a stone. Jill flailed uselessly, the ground growing before her face, the lights from the farmhouses getting bigger and bigger, the earth immense beneath her. 400 feet to go. "How do you turn the stupid jetpack on?" she shouted, not expecting a response.
"I don't know," came Specs's voice, clear as day in her ear. "There's a million buttons here, Jill. I can't see where to control the suit."
300 feet. "Specs?"
"The control panel turned on as soon as you got in the suit. There was a password, but I cracked it. I can see everything you're seeing. You better find a way to turn that jetpack on fast."
200 feet. Jill flexed every muscle, moved her arms every way, even tried putting her fists out in front of her like Crimson Cannonball. Nothing seemed to work. The ground was huge below her now. It felt less like she was falling and more like the planet was rushing towards her, bent on smearing her like a bug on a windshield. 100 feet. Jill was regretting everything. Leaving the city, eavesdropping on her grandpa, breaking into the secret bunker, touching the suit, stepping into the suit, all of it. 50 feet, Jill. Do something. Alarms were blaring in her ears. The HUD flashed red, strobed red, pulsed red in heavy waves. I just wanted to be Firefly! As the word Firefly left her lips, bare feet above the ground, the jetpack burst to life. Jill rocketed through row after row of corn and emerged to see the neighbor's barn looming large in front of her. Up, Jill! Pull up! Shouted Specs in her ear. No kidding! She yelled, but it was too late. She crashed into the side of the barn, burst through. The terrified horses inside scattered out of her way. A second later, she smashed out the other side and started climbing up into the air, getting a feel for how the jets responded to the angles of her body.
I got it! I'm flying!
Go, go, go!
Speck shouted, triumphant. Jill climbed back to 500 feet and then, through trial and error of leaning this way and that, figured out how to stop in midair, hovering.
You're Firefly!
I'm Firefly!
She looked down and everything below her hips was lost in the bright yellow light of the jetpack's energy. It should have been burning her legs or at least scorching her armor, but Firefly had long ago figured out the secret of the supposedly impossible anomalous thrust energy that allowed him to fly with no fuel and rockets that put out more light than heat. She'd have to ask Grandpa how he did it. Hanging there above the world, the sudden weight of it all hit her. Her grandpa was Firefly, Giga City's greatest hero. When she watched the old videos of Firefly repelling the Latachian alien invasion, that was Grandpa Jack. When Firefly had gone to space to pull the surviving astronauts out of the failing star station, that was Grandpa Jack. When Firefly had taken the supernuke of the Scarlet King and vanquished him in the Battle of the Bay, that too was Grandpa Jack, and he had somehow survived. And now here she was, wearing the updated Firefly armor. Her, Jillian Jays. It was almost too much to handle.
What now? Asked Specs, joking. You gonna go fight some crime?
Jill snorted. I'm not sure that I'm ready just yet for any crime fighting. Crime scanners initiated. Channel, Giga City. Super 1272 in progress. Suspects fleeing in stolen armored car. Would you like to pursue?
Jill, no, said Specs, apparently overhearing. Come back down here before something happens.
She knew he was right. She could barely fly, never mind fight. But she knew enough about police code in Giga City to know that the super before the crime meant a supervillain was involved. What if she didn't help and it got out of control? She thought of her father, of his train flipped, and him dead for no other reason than he was in a supervillain's way. The matchstick anger flared inside her, bright as her jets. A slow burn, and deep. And dangerous. That, too. Let's respond. Responding. Autopilot engaged to stolen vehicle. ETA 10 minutes at top speed. Kick it! The light of her jets flared all the brighter, and she rocketed off towards Giga City at Mach 3, drowning out Specs' worries with an echoing rebel cry, long and loud.
Wahoo!
Chapter 10. Engagement. It wasn't long at all before Jill saw Giga City loom into view on the horizon. The dense cluster of skyscrapers, tall and proud as ancient oaks, surrounded by the squat underbrush of the densely packed urban sprawl, made her feel at home again. Target acquired. Autopilot disengaging. And then she was flying again, steering herself towards a gray ribbon of highway where the stolen armored car was careening through traffic. Men leaning out the windows on either side and barking gunfire at the angry swarm of police in pursuit. Specs, you seeing this?
Yeah, I can see everything you see on the monitors here. You just made it 100 miles in 10 minutes. Man, that suit is fast.
You see the guns? What do I do now? She asked, realizing this is as far as she'd thought it out. The armored car was about 30 feet below her now, and they hadn't seen her yet.
Firefly would blow the tires, maybe, said Specs. Take him out, but not hurt him too bad.
It sounded good to Jill, but it occurred to her that she didn't actually know how to do that. She stared at the rear tire of the armored car, frowning, trying to figure it out. As she stared, she realized the crosshair of her HUD was getting brighter, the knuckles of her right hand tingling with energy. She raised her fist out in front of her as she flew, and a second crosshair came into view, this one following her fist instead of her eyes. She lined it up over the rear tire, and a signal beat. Target locked. She squeezed her fist tight, and an incandescent streak of energy flashed down, nearly too fast for the eye to follow.
"Geez, what did you do?" said Specs.
I don't know.
The tire was more than just blown. It was disintegrated, along with the wheel well and part of the bumper. The armored car, laden heavy, skidded across the pavement, kicking up sparks where the metal met the road. It twisted as the driver tried to regain control, but he overturned and the whole vehicle wrenched sideways and then slammed into a Jersey barrier. It flipped into the air, spinning twice before landing on its roof and grinding to an ear-piercing halt in the center of the road.
"Nice, Jill. Real subtle," Specs said in her ear.
"Hey, I'm new at this. What do I do now?" she asked, hovering above the wreck.
"Come home. The police can handle it from..."
The rest was lost in a wash of static as a bullet pinged off her forehead. It didn't hurt any more than a mosquito bite, but it made her plenty scared.
And angry. That, too. "Jill, you there? I found the control schematics on the system here. I got everything."
"How do I land?"
"Why would you want to land?"
"Just tell me."
"The jetpack is controlled two ways, vocally and mechanically. Move your jaw to the left to switch to mechanical control, and then make a fist and press your thumb to the side of your knuckle to turn it off and on."
"But don't!" Jill crashed to the ground between the robbers and the police, buckling the concrete around her feet with a hollow boom.
"But don't do it in midair," Specs finished weakly.
Two more bullets pinged off her suit. One thief had crawled out of the wreck and was standing by the driver's side door. The other had dragged himself out of the passenger side and had taken cover between the highway barrier. Both had guns drawn and pointed at her.
Jill raised her fist. "No, don't," said Specs. "The blaster is for armored or supers only. It'd destroy a regular guy like these two."
"Then what? Sit here and soak up bullets until they run out?" Another bullet slapped her in the side and careened off into the distance.
"Target the guns, but this time left hand. Palm out like a policeman signaling a stop."
Jill raised her left arm and saw a blue crosshair swing into view. She focused on one gun and then the other. Her HUD targeted both.
"Now flex your palm."
The guns flew out of the thieves' astonished hands and slapped into her open palm. Jill shook them off and they clattered to the ground.
"Come forward with your hands up,"
she said, and was pleased when the suit amplified and deepened her voice into the brusque Firefly baritone.
"No one has to get hurt."
"Sorry, Tin Man," the driver called back, ducking behind the upside-down armored car. "But yeah, someone does have to get hurt."
He banged twice on the side panel with a hairy fist.
"You!"
The back door of the car, nearly 6 inches of thick, reinforced titanium, exploded outwards. It crashed into Jill, hard enough to knock the breath from her body, and pinned her to the asphalt of the highway. Only her head and neck showed, sticking out from the top.
"Jill, are you okay?"
"Ugh,"
Jill replied, trying to breathe enough to talk and failing. Without the suit, she would have been broken into 100 pieces. With the suit, it felt like she had received the worst beating of her life, leaving her in a dreamy state. "What was I doing?" she thought. "Why is this blanket so heavy?" She tried to lift it off of her, but couldn't summon up the will to move. Heavy footsteps came from the back of the armored car. Part of Jill's brain was screaming at her that she had to move. In her ear, Specs was doing the same, but she couldn't seem to understand why. A monster pulled itself from the armored wreck, nearly 7 feet tall and just as wide, skin a pebbly leather, an ugly human face leering out from between a large, block-toothed mask shaped like the head of a king hippo. Jill lifted her neck weakly to stare, the rest of her body pinned under the giant rear door of the car. Her suit focused on the monster. A bio and criminal record flashed on the right side of her HUD. "Hippopotaman. Known supervillain. Powers including superhuman strength and toughness. No known associates. No known weaknesses." He lumbered forward. One of the police cars had caught up now, and the officer drew his gun and fired. The bullet thudded into Hippopotaman's thick hide and dropped harmlessly to the ground. The villain grabbed a nearby car, abandoned by its owner, and lifted it over his head as easily as Jill might have lifted a house cat. With a bull roar, he spun and hurled the car at the cop. The officer managed to dive back inside his own car as the vehicles collided and spun away.
"Jill, you gotta get out of there! Come on!" Speck said. "Do something! Do anything!"
Jill shook her head, groggy. Her focus was coming back now. "Time to go," she thought. "Like Sensei always said, better to run and fight another day than to be trampled by a giant mutant wearing a hippo costume." Jill edged her hands up under the armored door on top of her, getting her palms flat against the metal. She pushed and the suit responded, lifting the giant door an inch, 2 inches. It was almost easy. A giant foot crashed down onto the door, slamming it back flat on top of her. Jill groaned with pain. Hippopotaman took another lumbering step, and now he was standing fully on the door, on her, using his weight to crush her, to trap her.
"You look like Firefly,"
he grumbled at her, like she was no more than an annoying fly whose buzzing was giving him a headache.
"But you're no Firefly, just a bug to be crushed by the mighty Hippopotaman."
He lifted a giant foot and stomped down. The suit went wild, static flaring in front of her eyes, gears whining. "What do I do?" she whispered low so that the monster couldn't hear.
"Jellybean, I need you to listen to me."
It was her grandpa. Her sweet grandpa, the savior of Giga City. He would know what to do. He would help. He would... Ugh! Hippopotaman stomped again. Jill felt herself being pushed into the dirty concrete of the highway.
"Jellybean, as long as you whisper, the suit won't amplify your voice. Only I'll be able to hear you. Now listen, I can take control of the suit, but that lummox is pressing the door right into the receiver. I need you to get out from under him. Can you do that for me?"
"Grandpa, help me, please."
"I'm going to, Jellybean. Don't worry. Next time he lifts his foot, you're going to trigger the jets, okay?"
Another stomp. Jill felt an electric tingle down her left arm as something gave way in the suit. "He's crushing me, Grandpa." Jill hated how weak she sounded, how weak she felt.
"I know, honey. Use it. Get mad. Don't let him bully you."
Get mad. Get mad. Jill focused, using every trick she'd ever learned to breathe life into the matchstick of anger inside of her. It flickered, threatened to go out. "Too heavy. Too weak."
"Think about your mom, Jill. She's waiting for you."
The matchstick caught hold, bursting into flame, white hot and hungry for more. It caught and sent tendrils of fire, tendrils of burning strength all through her. She grimaced with rage. She was angry. She was powerful. And dangerous. That too. Hippopotaman lifted his foot to stomp again. Jill chinned her suit to voice commands and whispered, "Firefly." A small and quiet word, but a magic one, because the jets roared to life and she shot out from under the door, throwing the villain off balance and sending him sprawling onto his back. Jill crashed into the side of an SUV with a tinkle of broken glass and shut off her jets. Climbing back to her feet seemed no easier than climbing up a mountain, but somehow she managed it. That dangerous anger running all through her still.
"Good job, Jellybean. Now get into the air and I'll drive you home."
"No."
"Jill, you listen to me. You need to get home. You don't know what you're doing."
"No!" Jill roared, and she charged at Hippopotaman, who had found his footing and was waiting for her, arms spread wide. He took a swipe and missed her. He roared and threw a giant punch, but he was too slow by far. She was anger. She was speed. She was Firefly, and he couldn't hurt her again. The next time he swung, Jill leaned back and caught his fist, remembering her judo. She used the giant's own incredible strength and momentum against him, pivoting and throwing him head over heels. He gave a roar of rage and slammed onto the side of the armored car. A second later, Jill caught him with a shot from her blaster, a crackling bolt of energy that punched him through the side of the vehicle and left him lying there, groaning, half his body in the car, half lying limp on the concrete. She looked for someone else to fight, but there was no one. No one but the rest of the police, advancing slowly with guns drawn. Some had normal weapons. Others had the giant stunners they used to take supervillains into captivity. A crowd was beginning to gather at the fringes, people getting out of their cars, and a word passed from mouth to mouth, moving through the throng like a summer breeze. Firefly. Firefly. As they saw her and the defeated supervillain, they started to chant it, making it three notes, louder and louder. The sound was beautiful to Jill's ears, like a fine-tuned engine roaring to life.
Firefly! Firefly! Firefly!
A news camera suddenly was jabbed into her face. Firefly, is that you? The reporter held out a mic, waiting expectantly. Jill nodded. You've been gone for 15 years. Why have you come back?
That's it, said Grandpa in her ear, angrier than Jill would have believed possible. Fun's over.
Jill felt the suit lock up, out of her control. A second later, she was blasting into the air, the lights of Giga City fading to a pinprick behind her.
We'll talk when you get home,
Grandpa said, but Jill barely heard him. Her ears were still full of the chanting crowd. Chapter 11. Big Trouble. The suit opened and Jill tumbled out onto the floor, shaken and bruised and afraid. Immediately, Specs's moon round face, flushed red, leaned over her.
Jill, are you all right?
Give her some room to breathe, Specs.
Grandpa Jack's voice came from across the room.
She's fine. The suit gave her a comprehensive physical exam on the way home.
She could hear his heavy footsteps crossing the room. He reached down and lifted her into the air like he always had when greeting her. But this time, instead of spinning her around, he set her roughly on her feet, his eyes threatening as a thundercloud.
Suit says you've got some bruised ribs and a first-degree burn on your arm from some broken circuitry.
He took her left hand in his and turned her arm back and forth, frowning.
Too blasted dark in here for these old eyes.
He pursed his lips and whistled a little three-note melody. A handful of the fireflies that lit the room broke off from the swarm and flew down to float around his calloused hands. Up close, Jill could see they were actually tiny robots, each one equipped with wings and a bright LED tail.
Bah, said Grandpa when the light shone on her elbow. Barely as bad as a sunburn.
He turned away, stalking back to the console.
Get your butt over here. Now. You too, Specs.
They followed meekly. Jill would have pushed back against her mother. She would have even argued with teachers or the principal, but now she didn't dare to say a word.
Not to Grandpa Jack. Not to Firefly. Look at this mess,
he said, jabbing a thick finger at the bank of monitors. Each screen was tuned to a different channel, all of them showing a surprisingly clear cell phone video of Jill's fight with Hippopotaman. All of the breaking news banners were slightly different, but the overall message was the same. Firefly returned. I'm sorry, Grandpa Jack.
Me too, Mr. Jays.
Grandpa slapped his hand down hard on the console, making both kids jump.
You're sorry. Sorry? You break into my lab, you put on my suit, you get into a firefight with a couple of goons, get bullet dents in my brand new armor, and then you go toe-to-toe with Hippopotaman, nearly getting crushed to death, and you're sorry. Sorry doesn't cut it. Sorry doesn't begin to cover it. You have no idea what you've done.
He jabbed a finger at Jill.
How did you find my lab? How did you get in? Tell me the truth or I swear I'll send you back to fight that hippo again.
Jill considered saying it was all a big accident, but, she reasoned, layering lies on top of trouble only made for a bigger mess in the end. Well, it started in Springvale, with Sharkskin. Grandpa listened as she continued on to tell the whole story. The eavesdropping, the signal injector and wire tracking, the password and the silo and the stepping into the suit, even the police scanner and her anger. When she had finished, he turned in his chair and glared down at Specs.
How about you? How did you get onto my console?
It turned on when the suit did,
Specs said, eyes bulging under Grandpa's stare.
I know it turned on when the suit did. I designed the bloody system. What I mean is, how did you get past my password?
Specs looked down at the ground, scuffing his dirty sneaker.
You used a 6-character MD5 hash algorithm. I plugged in my USB drive with a rainbow table and ran the crack.
Grandpa's face contorted. Jill guessed he was equal parts impressed and furious, but the combination made her laugh.
Oh, you think this is funny? Him hacking me? Well, listen up. None of this is funny. You could have gotten killed out there, and you could have ruined my system so bad I wouldn't have been able to help her. What's more, you two know my secret. The only two people in the world who do. What am I supposed to do about that? I can't very well go and tell your parents.
I won't tell anyone, Mr. Jays.
Grandpa looked over at him, rubbing his temples and heaved a sigh.
Jack, Specs. You can call me Jack. Blazes, but it looks like your father was right. You shouldn't waste your time going to some fancy college.
Specs looked like he was about to cry, but Grandpa continued on.
You're too advanced for any of that. You both are. So here's the deal.
He clapped his hands together and stood up.
No more Firefly. There's a reason I retired, and don't bother asking why. Instead, from now on, you're both working for me. You go to school and then report here straight after. Specs, I'll tell your dad I have you working baling hay. That'll make him happy. Jill will tell your mom the truth that you're studying advanced engineering and computer science again. Specs, you'll be securing my system. Jill, you'll be fixing my armor. You'll also be sweeping the floors, cleaning up my experiments, and studying whatever I tell you to study. Any objections?
He glared at the pair of them again, daring them to take issue.
No, Mr. Jays. I mean, Jack. Thank you, Mr. Jays.
No, Grandpa, said Jill, looking him in the eye and giving him a tiny smile. Did you see me throw Hippopotaman, though?
Grandpa snorted.
Good enough for a rookie, but your judo was sloppy. Never much liked judo anyway. Too defensive. From now on, we'll be working on my own special blend of martial arts. One designed to work with the strengths of the suit. And that means you too, he said, poking Specs in the belly. You have that amazing brain up there. It's easy to forget about your body. I get it, but they work together. You'll be able to study harder and be more energetic after some hard labor, and that's a promise.
Specs looked a little queasy, but had the good sense not to argue.
And another thing, Grandpa started to say,
but the room was suddenly split by a spike of static. They all turned to the bank of monitors. Across every one, every station, the same image was being broadcast. A blood-red screen with a spiky black crown.
No, no,
said Grandpa, slumping into the chair.
Please, no.
The screen flickered, the static cut, and now it showed a black throne sitting atop a black stage. To one side was a beautiful woman with a cruel sneer on her face, giant iridescent wings stretching out behind her, fingers ending in razor-sharp talons. To the other side was a barbarian, half muscle-bound flesh and half strange electronic components, a hulking cyborg with sunken eyes. On the throne itself, encased in scarlet armor topped with a black crown, sat the Scarlet King.
Firefly!
He boomed, his voice raging through the speakers and rebounding off the walls of the bunker. Jill knew people at home, people all over Giga City, all over the country, were seeing the same thing. Were they panicking? Were their hearts pounding like hers was?
You have broken our sacred truce. You have returned to Giga City. Know that it has not escaped my notice. Know that the Scarlet King is returned. Know that I am returned.
Grandpa was shaking, eyes wide. Speck's mouth hung open nearly to the floor.
Soon, Firefly, I will find you. Soon, Firefly, I will defeat you. And soon, Firefly, I will rule over Giga City, and all will bow to me.
His voice dropped to a grating serpent whisper.
Soon, Firefly, I am coming. Soon.
To be continued.
Hey, this is Dan. Just want to jump in before Amanda does the end credits. This story is to be continued. We'll probably take a month or two off and come back to it. Sort of a serial novel style. This is book one. And then we'll have books two and three out over the next probably 3 or 4 months. Thanks.
Today's story, The Exciting Conclusion of the Brilliant Firefly Reborn, is an original work written by Daniel Hines and performed by me, Amanda Weldon. If you would like to support the show, please head to our iTunes page and leave us a review. If you would like to get advance access to exclusive content and receive a thank you in a future episode, please visit patreon.com/stories and make a pledge. Then send an email to Amanda@storiespodcast.com and tell us who we should thank. Thanks for listening. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go,
Tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.